Let's turn to Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10, verse 21. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I pray thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well pleasing in thy sight. We know this is one of the prayers of our Lord, and also his worship. Since he was quoted Psalm 8, verse 2, so here we do have the word, the prayer, and fellowship, and worship. Let's have another word of prayer. Dear Lord, once again we come into your presence and thank you. It is such a wonderful opportunity we may sit as married at the feet at your feet. We pray that, Lord, this afternoon you will speak to our hearts. We are all here listening. Thank you, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. I think we all know that the topics in the afternoon is the word, prayer, and worship. And the topic which I have been assigned is using the word in prayer and worship. Now we want to approach this topic by learning some lessons taken from the devotional life of our Lord. Now we all know that the devotional life of our Lord was so sacred, so deep, and it was so hidden that we can only do some gleaning through his word. So this afternoon we will especially be occupied with the Gospel according to Luke. Probably through this Gospel, we will learn a little more about the hidden life of our Lord. Now, if we really want to know what a tree of life looked like, probably the best illustration it is through this wonderful Gospel. We all know that Gospel according to Luke presents Christ as the Son of Man. So there is a special emphasis in this Gospel. Now as you can see, only through this Gospel we have the record of the early life of our Lord. And finally, his ascension. So it is most complete life of our Lord on earth. Now we know that Luke was a medical doctor. He had quite observed. He had observed many processes of life. He had witnessed the birth, the growth, the aging, and the end of a life. So now this is his report. He gave his report in the Gospel according to Luke. Now in this Gospel, he's going to show us the most perfect life he has ever seen, he has ever witnessed. Because his main object is the Gentiles and the Greeks. And since you know in the Greek world, they all pursue the perfectionism. They want everything perfect. And they want to pursue a perfect man. Now even their God was created according to the image of man. Now it is the report of Luke, this wonderful medical doctor, to tell the whole world, now there is only one life, and this life is life of Christ, which has been presented in this wonderful Gospel. And only in Christ, only in our Lord Jesus, you will find a perfect man. Now you can see how he was born and how he grew unto maturity. Finally, how he reached the goal. So this is indeed a wonderful book in the Bible to tell us the wonderful life of the universe. The life is in Him. Now we want to know how this life begins, how this life grows, and finally, unto maturity. Now, in this wonderful book, we have been told in 9 passages of prayers which Jesus offered in the crisis of His life. And 7 of these, Luke alone records. At His baptism, after a day of miracles, in chapter 5, then before choosing the apostles, before Peter's great confession, at His transfiguration, when the 70 returned and made their report, before teaching the apostles how to pray, in Gethsemane, on the cross. Now, in this crisis of our Lord, and we discover our Lord praying. So He did leave an example of prayer life to us. And if we trace carefully this wonderful book, this wonderful gospel, according to Luke, then we will discover the secret of a prayer life. But not only this, we will discover another aspect of the hidden life of our Lord. Not only His prayer life, also His life with the Word. Then you will discover His prayer life and His life with the Word is just like 2 wings of a bird. And then you discover actually this is the secret of the life of our Lord. Here we find the secret spring of that wonderful life. That great life. And through these 2 aspects of life of our Lord, then we discover it is a dependent life. It is a life supposed to demonstrate what a tree of life looks like. So, by the mercy of the Lord, this afternoon, we just try to trade through this wonderful gospel. And we especially will dwell on the life with the Word. And then later, we will mention how our Lord was using the Word in prayer and worship. And this should be our good example. And because in this gospel, Christ was presented as the Son of Man. That's why I think this is really a wonderful pattern. This is really a wonderful model in front of us. So, by the mercy of the Lord, we can learn how to live such a wonderful life. A life of prayer and a life with the Word together. Now, just to give you some impression, I will go through quickly these 9 occasions. And I just read the Bible very quickly and just give you some idea. For example, at His baptism, now we have the report from Luke. Now it came about when all the people were baptized and Jesus also was baptized. And while He was praying, heaven was open. Now that's the first occasion. Second one, after a day of miracles. But the news about Him was spreading even further, and great multitudes were gathering to hear Him and to be healed of their sickness. But He Himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. So this is after a day of miracles. Then the third occasion, and it was at this time that He went off to the mountain to pray. And He spent the whole night in prayer to God. Whole night in prayer to God. So that's before choosing the apostles. The fourth occasion. And it came about that while He was praying alone, the disciples were with Him, and He questioned them, saying, "Who do the multitude say that I am?" Now that's before Peter's great confession. And another occasion. At His transfiguration. And while He was praying, the appearance of His face became different, and His clothing white and gleaming. Another occasion, when the 70 returned and made their report. And at that very time, He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, "I pray Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to the babes." Yes, Father. For thus it was well pleasing in thy sight. This is another prayer of our Lord. Then, the before teaching the apostles how to pray. Now, we have such a report. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Okay, then, another occasion is a well-known one. That is, in Gethsemane. I think we all know that story. I don't think we will read it. And then, the last occasion is on the cross. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. Now here's another occasion, another report. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. So these are the nine occasions Luke records that here we find the prayer life of our Lord. Now, if we try to read carefully these passages, we will discover somehow it is coupled with the light, with the word of our Lord. You can never separate these two. Because somehow these two, they are intertwined together. You can never separate them. Because actually, this is the light of our Lord. Now, so for that reason, we will go through these nine occasions very quickly. And we also try to point out, now tonight, and now this afternoon, we will especially dwell on the life with the Lord, with the word of our Lord. And we will see what kind of secret the Lord will pass to us. So, for that reason, we will go very quickly and learn something from this wonderful life. Now, before we go to the detail of these details, let me remind you once again. Now, if you go through the whole Gospel of Luke, you will discover the life of our Lord in this Gospel can be divided into three stages. It's clear, very clear. And from his manger to his baptism. And then from his baptism to his transfiguration. And from his transfiguration to his ascension. It means from chapter 1 to chapter 4. First 30 years. Then from chapter 4 to chapter 9, that is another 3 years. Then from chapter 9 to chapter 24, last 6 months. So altogether, 33 years and a half. We can divide the whole our life into three stages. Now this division is very natural because we know that in the life of our Lord, especially in this gospel, because at the end of these three stages, somehow heaven has some action. For example, at the end of the first stage of our Lord, that means from his manger to his baptism, and then you discover in these 30 years after the end, at the very end of this stage, you will discover heaven opened. Not only heaven opened, there is a voice from the heaven to tell us. He is the beloved Son of our God. And he was well pleased. So, that's the first stage. Then at the end of second stage, when our Lord was in the Mount Transfiguration, here again, another voice from heaven. And to tell us how our Father was so satisfied with our Lord. And now our Lord has passed through, not in the first stage, also the second stage. And it was so pleased the Father. Now there is a voice from heaven to tell us how our Father was so pleased with his Son. Then we come to the end of the third stage. Then you discover no longer a voice from heaven. Heaven took the action and received our Lord to heaven. So that's the ascension of our Lord. So by this way, you will discover it's a very natural way for us to see the growth and the development of that wonderful life into three stages, from one to another and to the final. Now, in the first stage, we discover it is about 30 years. Long, long 30 years. And we don't know much about this stage. But don't forget, when we talk about his prayer life, when we talk about his life with the Word, we have to begin from this stage. Because we can gather something, we can glean something from the Word. How our Lord has lived that life in the first stage. We have the report from Isaiah 53. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched mouth. So this is the description of the first stage of our Lord. Now in this period, we don't know much about it. But somehow we will find it out by the record from the Word. Then we come to the second stage, that is from the Mount Transfiguration, from his baptism to the Mount Transfiguration, about 3 years. And our Lord manifested himself among the people in the world. First 30 years he was hidden. Now then 3 years he manifested himself in front of the world. He worked, he labored, he healed, he comforted, he walked from one village to another village. He preached the gospel of kingdom from one place to another place. He was busy in doing the will of God. He was busy in serving the purpose of God. From one place to another, from one corner to another. Now that's the second 3 years. Brothers and sisters, because he was so perfect. He was so ideal. No wonder when he passed through this world, you discover there are so many people who are blind, who are sick, who are lame, who are paralyzed, who are weak, everywhere. Why? Because here you'll find a light, a perfect light, walk through the world. No wonder. Wherever he passed through, you discover the ones who are blind, the ones who are paralyzed, the ones who are not perfect, everywhere. That's the second stage. Then the third stage is his last 6 months. Now this is very important, brothers and sisters. When he reached the Mount of Transfiguration, now we know that. As far as he himself is concerned, I believe our Lord has reached his goal. Because that light was so mature. It's just like a mature grape. It's so matured. That light was so beautiful. For himself, my brother and sister, he is able and he's supposed to ascend to heaven from Mount Transfiguration. But for your sake and for my sake, in order to accomplish the work of salvation, then we discover, instead of ascending to heaven, our Lord take another turn. Now this time, it is a way of descending. From Mount Hermon, he descend to the Mount of Golgotha. And finally, he went through the winepress of the cross. For himself, you all will witness this wonderful life. Wonderful and beautiful life. And this life is so rich, is so wonderful, it's just like a grapes. But then, you discover, this grapes ought to go through the wine press. And after you go through the wine press, this grapes will be disfigured, will be crushed, will be without forms. In order to pass the light, in order to pour out the light to others, my brothers and sisters, our Lord has to go through a way which we call the way of the cross. What is the way of the cross? The best definition, the best description is from this wonderful gospel. And you know, this gospel is very unique in this way. Because from chapter 9 to chapter 24, it's a long, long passage. We know that in gospel according to Matthew, tell us something happened in Galilee. Matthew and Mark. And the gospel according to John, tell us what our Lord has done in Judea, in Jerusalem. But then, only in gospel of Luke, tell us something happened beyond the Jordan, called burial. And now, the Lord not only, took away a long way, he also encouraged his disciples. Let's go to Jerusalem. So this is the way of the cross. And for himself, he didn't have to go through it. But in order to distribute his light to us, in order to pass his light to us, He had to go through the winepress of the cross. And finally, we know that. He has reserved that the better wine for us. So no wonder, my brothers and sisters, when we receive our Lord Jesus, we are no longer thirsty anymore. And we indeed will tell the testimony to the world how wonderful it is life. So, roughly speaking, through this whole Gospel of Luke, you will discover three stages of our life, of the life of our Lord, from one to another. 30 years, 3 years, and 6 months. There is a uniqueness in the life of our Lord. You know, our life is very different. When we come to this world, we come into this world horizontally. And when we leave this world, we leave this world also horizontally. Now that's our pattern, the pattern of our life. But if you study the Gospel according to Luke, our Lord entered into this world horizontally, yet He was leaving this world vertically. He ascended to heaven. And this light is grow until into the very presence of His Father. So my brothers and sisters, if we study this Gospel, we will discover this is indeed a wonderful life. But one thing we have to remember. Now, what is the characteristic of this life? The characteristic of this life is a dependent life. And then you discover, no matter what is a prayer life is a dependent life. Now, what is what is his life with the Word? Now, let me quote something from the Gospel according to John. Now, you remember, according to John, there is such a passage. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews, therefore, were marveling, saying, "How has this man become learned, have never been educated?" Because our Lord was going there to teach. He has something to give. He has something to teach. And then people were so marveling, saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" Now, here is the secret. Now somehow we can learn some of the secret of our life. And the Jesus therefore answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me." So you see, brothers and sisters, if you go through the whole Gospel of Luke, you will discover half of them are the literal words of our Lord. Half of them. Out of 1,149 verses, you will find 586 verses full of the words of our Lord. So if you print the word of Christ in red inks, you will discover in this Gospel, half of them are in red. So that's this Gospel. For example, if you read chapter 12, altogether 59 verses, you have 27 verses, the words of our Lord. The 11, the chapter 16, the same thing. Out of 31 verses, you have 30 verses. Tell us the words of Christ. But now, it is our Lord who told us, "My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me." Now we see the secret. Now we see the source of our Lord's teaching. And not only that, in another occasion our Lord said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and I do nothing on my own initiative. But I speak these things as the Father taught me." Brothers and sisters, as the Son of God, can you imagine that our Lord needs a teaching from His Father? He has to be taught by His Father. But let us remember, when we go through this wonderful Gospel according to Luke, our Lord took the position of the Son of Man. And for that reason. And now we are going to dip into His hidden light of the Word. The life with the Word. Because He told us, "I speak these things as the Father taught me." So, brothers and sisters, now if we go through the whole Gospel of Luke, we are supposed to have some glimpse about the hidden life or the devotion life of our Lord. Now, as I mentioned, that the characteristic of our Lord, of the life of our Lord, is a dependent life. He always has this in mind. He always tells us that he live a life depend on the Lord. He has a prayer life. Now, when someone is praying, you know that this is a dependent life. And not only that, when someone lives a life with the Word, It also means that we surrender. It always means that now we live a life which we are depending on Him. So, brothers and sisters, this life is like a life of a child. A life of an infant child. My brothers and sisters, if you read the whole Gospel of Luke, it will give you the impression our Lord was living that kind of life. Always depend on the Father. Now, I think it's very interesting when you notice that, when you compare a babe, human babes, and any babe animals. Now, for example, you take a monkey, and you take a person, take a man, and you compare, when they are all first born, if you measure their IQ, you will discover that now a baby, okay, is the IQ is zero, is nothing. But then if you measure the IQ of a monkey, you will discover the monkey's IQ is much higher than human being. And baby cow could stand with his feet and suck the milk from the mother cow. But think about it. Suppose a baby, when he was first born, and he could stood up and say, "Hi, mom." And I think the mother will faint. So you will never find a babe. He begins life by standing, no. And not only that, you know the baby shark. When the baby shark was born, full of teeth, when first born. But can you imagine a baby was born full of teeth? No. Sometimes we believe that when a baby full of teeth, it means strength. A baby shark, it means strength. Because after when he was first born, then the mother shark will throw him away into the ocean. And how can he survive in the ocean with his teeth? It means the strength. But now why? Now all the babies, all the babes were born helpless, were born dependent. Why? Because this is a wonderful demonstration to tell us. Now in this world, you have the choices between two trees. One, the tree of life, another tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, you want to choose a dependent life or independent life. Now, my brothers and sisters, our Lord lived a dependent life. Now, what is His sign of dependent life? Two aspects. His two wings. First is His prayer life. Another one is His life with the Word. So now we want to find out a little bit about His life with the Word. Again, I said, it's not very easy to trade through and to get all the information. But we still get some. Now you know, for example, sometimes we build dams to hold the water reservoir. Now we don't know how the water will accumulate, can be so rich in that water reservoir. We don't know the development. We don't know what happened. We didn't know what's going on during the water reservoir. We didn't know anything about it. Until one day, when the gate of dam was open, then you discover water gushes through. And through the power of that water, then you know how that water has been developed, not in one night, several nights. So how many days of accumulation? Now, my brothers and sisters, when you admire a tree, usually you say it's a wonderful tree. But you always forgot that with that huge tree or great tree, there's a very deep root under the ground. And the part of root is invisible to the human eyes. All we can see is a wonderful tree above the ground. And my brothers and sisters, if you see the life of our Lord, you discover 30 years hidden underground. Nobody knows what was going on there. And that part is invisible, but that part only visible to His Father. And because He grew up before the Father as a tender shoot. And my brothers and sisters, how He accumulated, how He lived that life with the Word, we don't know. But somehow, after He came out, after when that gate of them was opened, now immediately you knew. And that's recorded, that was recorded in this wonderful Gospel. That's why, my brothers and sisters, it's wonderful if you go through this Gospel. You will know a little bit in the early life of our Lord, and especially how the Word of the Father accumulates in the Son. And not only that, later you see how He spoke the words. And not only that, after His resurrection, He was even expounding the Word of God. So His exposition of the Word, His explanation of the Word is given only after He has been resurrected. So, brother and sister, if you want to know a little bit about the life of our Lord with the Word, then you discover it's in this wonderful gospel. And it is very interesting. It is only this gospel we are told that, and you know what happened when he was 12. And we know that when he was 12, he became a son of law. And before that, now as every Jewish boy, they were educated in the Word of God. For example, they ought to study, at least they should know very well the first five chapters of Genesis. At least they should memorize Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. And not only that, they have to find their personal verse, Bible verse. Now, what is personal Bible verse? You have to look for a passage, a verse. And now, this verse will begin with one letter and will end up with another letter. So, if the first letter and the last letter of this verse match with the first letter and last letter of your name, it means you have found your personal Bible. You will find the personal Word of God that belongs to you. For example, my name is Paul. Now, if I'm reading English Bible, then you discover in Proverbs. And then you will find one verse. It is indeed beginning with P and end with L. Then I will say, now this is my personal scripture. This is my personal Bible. This is my personal Word of God. Now almost every average Jewish child, they were told to search the Word of God, to look for the word, to look for the phrase, to look for the verse, as if this belongs to you, as if this is your verse, as if this is your property. Now, my brothers and sisters, we know that before our Lord was 12, and he was trained, just like every average Jewish boy. And that's what happened. Before our Lord was 12. Then when he became a son of law, and now you know what happened, and you know his parents couldn't find him for 3 days, and then later they found him in the temple. And what the Bible said? He was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Now, brothers and sisters, I have been teaching in the university for a long time. And I know sometimes, you know, if you really get a good student, you always ask questions. If he was there, if all the students are very quiet, it means that he's a great failure. It means that they just don't understand anything because they don't ask. Now, if someone knows to ask, it means that he really understands. So you see, our Lord was in the midst of the teachers. My brother and sister, let me ask you one question. As a son of God, does he need a teacher? Of course not. As a son of God, does he need to ask? He didn't have to ask. He's going to answer all the questions as a son of God. So you see, my brothers and sisters, in the very beginning, you know, when I was young, when I think about my Lord, I always think that with our Lord, everything was so easy with him. Especially the Word of God. With him, it's so simple. Because as a son of man, he knows everything, because the word has been breathed by God himself. So from Genesis to Revelation, he knows everything. He knows every word of it as a son of God. Of course, my brothers, no doubt about it. Today, if you want to feed in some data into the computer, now you even don't have to type, you just have a handwriting, then you use the scanner to sweep the document into the computer, that is there. So I was always thinking, you know, when our Lord was on earth, probably he, as a son of God, he just take a scroll from the Old Testament. So then he just say, sweep over it, then he has got all the Bible. So my brother and sisters, do you think this is the way our Lord had lived his life with the Word? Until one day you discover in this gospel, Luke presents another aspect, the aspect of the Son of Man. As a son of man, then you discover he needs the teachers. And not only that, he's listening to them and asking them questions. And not only that. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So, brother and sister, what does this mean? This means that even the Bible didn't tell us much about it. But somehow, something has been cooking. Somehow, something has been going on. Somehow, within the water reservoir, something happened, something going on, something being developed. But it is hidden. Because that part is supposed to be hidden, brothers and sisters. This is the secret spring of our life. This is supposed to be be the motor of our life. And it's not supposed to be displayed. It is most sacred. It's something between our Lord and His Father. So from the Bible, you will see it is so clearly. And our Lord, while he was before he was fell, and somehow we believe that the Word of God, the Word of God somehow become richer and richer in him as a Son of Man, I say, my brothers and sisters. Okay, but then one day when he came out in public, when he was about 30, especially at his baptism, now my brothers and sisters, something happened. Then you discover that the gate of them has been opened. Now you will find the flood of water coming out. And then, my brothers, when you go through the whole gospel, not only gospel according to Luke, the whole four gospel, you will discover is a treasure there. How our Lord considered the word of God before his Father. How he studied, how he found the keys. You discover is such a treasure in the word of God. If you go through it, this afternoon we only limit in one aspect, that is how it is related to the prayer and how it is related to worship. But anyway, let us remember that somehow the word of God is rich in our Lord. Now, when he came out in public at 30, then that gate of them was open. Now we learn from the word. Now it came about when all the people were baptized that Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. Now here we find an open heaven. My brothers and sisters, how we wish to live a life under an open heaven. Now the Bible said, while he was praying, heaven was open. So this is the secret. How we can have a life under an open heaven? Only when we have a prayer life. Only when we pray before the Lord. Now, through that wonderful communication, through that wonderful fellowship, then you discover the heaven open. And not only that, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. Now, this means two things. First, again, he's refreshed with the Holy Spirit. Second, because the dove is a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice animals for the poor people. So you see, brothers, descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. This means that our Lord not only had a prayer life, he really put himself on the altar. So my brothers and sisters, you discover this is a wonderful life, this is a devotional life, heaven opened. How we wish and we enter into the same way. How we can live a life of open heaven. How we can live a life of consecration. And how we want to be refreshed with the Holy Spirit. Because our Lord already filled with the Holy Spirit. So my brothers and sisters. Now of course not only that. There is another point of it. Another. Because he's going to begin his ministry. So this means somehow he has to be anointed. From now on he is going to minister. So that's another aspect. But anyway my brothers and sisters. Not only that. Then you discover. Then a voice came out of heaven. Not only have open heaven. My goodness, if you have open heaven, if heaven did not speak, what is the use of it? So, if we want to learn a wonderful life before God, not only an open heaven, then you discover heaven speak to us. Heaven say something. That's exactly what happened with our Lord. And the Bible said, thou art my beloved son. In thee I am well pleased. Now, this is the voice from heaven. Oh, sometimes what we, dreams of the voice from heaven. It means something wonderful. It means something so loved. Something so beautiful. You know, we always dream a dream that we have, can hear the voice from heaven. Wonderful voice from heaven. That's supposed to be part of our devotional life. But let us remember, it's very interesting here. When the Bible said, thou art my beloved son in thee, I am well pleased. You discover, this voice is not just voice, just mere voice. You discover, this is a combination of two sentences from the word of God in the Old Testament. Somehow God has spoken to our Lord before. When our Lord opened his Bible, suppose he opened his Bible to Psalm 2. Verse 7, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Now, thou art my son, this is the first part. Then the second part, no doubt about that. When our Lord was young, definitely he has read that Isaiah 42 verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. My brothers and sisters, how God opened the heaven. How our Lord, how our Father is going to speak to us. When we say we want something from heaven, we want a voice from heaven. We want some wonderful fellowship with the Lord. We say we have heard the voice from heaven. But don't forget, our Lord never divorced the heavenly voice with His word. He has spoken once. Now He's speaking again. So my brothers and sisters, only when we are praying, only when we are fellowshiping, only when we are consecrate ourselves to the Lord, then you discover the Bible we have read in Psalm chapter 2 verse 7, in Isaiah chapter 42 verse 1. Then Holy Spirit combined them into one sentence. And that is called heavenly voice. That is a voice from heaven. So my brothers and sisters, no wonder if you read the whole gospel of Luke, you will discover two words for this word. Okay, for example, in chapter 3, verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the words here in Greek, it is logos. In Greek, there's a word for this word called logos. So it means in the book of the words of Isaiah. That means when you read the Old Testament, when you turn to Isaiah, when you take the whole book of Isaiah, the Lord said, this is logos. This is called logos. Logos means God, the word God has spoken to us through the Bible. The word God has spoken to us before. Now, then you find another word in Luke chapter 24, verse 8. And they remember His words. Now that word in Greek is rhema. And rhema means what? Rhema simply means a living word. It means the word God speaks again through His spoken word. You see, brothers and sisters, what is rhema? When our Lord was praying, now you see that the word has been spoken through Psalm and Isaiah. Now God speak again to the Lord. That is called rhema. Now this is very, very important. Now let me repeat again. When we study the word, this is logos. And I believe that before He was 12, our Lord was 12, most likely He went through the Bible. And you see, somehow, then you see He was filled with the logos of God. No doubt about that. But now, this is a wonderful demonstration. It is by the word of God. When He was praying, when He was consecrating, when the Holy Spirit was descending upon Him, my brothers and sisters, our Lord got the word of God. Then you discover heaven not only happened, heaven spoke. And with the word, God already spoken. And this is called the living word. So, rhema in the Bible means rich, not only rich word, it's living word, personal word. Somehow Holy Spirit speak to us. Somehow speak to us in a very subjective way and also living way. This word will empower us. And this word is not a word yesterday. This is manna today. And we call it rhema. Now my brothers and sisters, if you read the whole word of God, and then if you read the Bible, you will discover. And there are two aspects of the word. And we need logos, we need rhema. Without logos, without rhema. But even we are rich in logos, that doesn't guarantee that we are rich in rhema. We need open heaven. We need to pray. That's why, my brothers and sisters, to study the word is very different for you to study chemistry, physics, and other things. Only this word will make your heart burning. You remember when those two disciples who went to Emmaus? You remember that? When our Lord was expounding the word to them. And they said, now when He spoke His word, when He explained these words, our heart were burning. I'm a student of physics. I've read lots of books of physics. But the more I study physics, the more I feel cold. I never feel in 1 second a burning in my heart. No. My brothers and sisters, what is rhema? Rhema means that when God speaks to us again, you have something burning in us. Even if you are on your way to Emmaus. Even you are on your way going downward. But then you will be reminded to go back to Jerusalem. To go back to the will of God. So my brothers and sisters, it's so simple. If we study the Bible carefully, you will discover this is very important. We need rhema. Rhema means that some word will keep you burning. Some word will keep you, give you the power, give you the energy. And somehow we know the word of God. Now let me give you a simple illustration, especially for the young people. Let me just give you a simple illustration from the true story. One sister, when she was very young, was very coward, she's afraid of this and that. So in the evening when she went to bed, first she dared not to let the light off. Another one, she needs something to keep him in, to be sure, to be secured. So somehow he feel that probably she will sleep much better if somehow she put her Bible under her pillows. Now you see some people singing, standing on the promises of the word. Now he was sleeping over the promise of the word. So then she slept very, very well. And then, wonderful, somehow she went through a period of her Christian life. Now one day she grew in the Lord. Then she studied the word, studied the Bible. Somehow one day God spoke to him through the word. And that word is, do not be afraid or fear not. Fear not, fear not. Now, then she did some simple calculation in the word of God. And she discovered in the Bible, there are 365 verses, times, mentioning this word, do not be afraid, or fear not. So then she told herself, now if this is true, that means I can use one verse every day. So for that reason, then she took the Bible away from her pillow. She sleep very well. Because every day, she has a word from the Lord, fear not. My brothers and sisters, there was a very faithful servant of God in mainland China. He went through much trouble and much suffering. And when he came out to Shanghai, when he came out from prison, another brother asked him, he said, brother, what have you learned in these years? Long suffering, long tribulation, great tribulation. Now, what have you learned? Now, he said in Chinese three words, 不要怕, it means fear not. It means don't be afraid. My brothers and sisters, if you know what happened in certain place of this world, if you went through certain kind of tribulation, you ought to be afraid. But why sometimes we are not afraid? It is not because it is not because of our strength. It is because somehow, do not be afraid. This phrase is in the word of God. And someday the Lord comfort us. The Lord speak to our hearts once again. Then we have an open heaven. Then you discover heaven. Heaven speaks, and my brothers and sisters, and this is our rhema. So we thank the Lord. You see, when our Lord first came out in public, at his baptism, and then we see so much things happen there. And not only that, and immediately after that, and we know how he resisted temptation. I think I don't have to go through it. You know, when he was under temptation, and how our Lord came out in a triumphant way. First Adam fell. What? No word. But last Adam was victorious, has won the battle. My brother and sister, we want to know the secret. We want to know what kind of bullets our Lord has used. Then you discover it's so wonderful. I think you all know very well. For example, you remember when our Lord was tempted, the answer is, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Our Lord was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, in a very accurate way. My brother said, let me remind you once again. In the Old Testament time, they did not divide their Bible in chapters or verses like this. No, not at all. So, if you want to know the Bible, you ought to memorize them. Otherwise, how can you get them? It's almost impossible. And then, don't forget, but proceed out of the mouth of the word Lord. It is by the word. But by the word. Which proceeds out of God. Now that word in Greek means rhema. So you see, brothers and sisters, only rhema can kill the hunger of our Lord. Because man does not live by bread alone. It means that we live by rhema, which really can sustain us. So my brothers and sisters, this means rhema. So that's how the first reaction of our Lord. And not only that, we believe that this word really, this rhema really, really helped many brothers, really sustained many dear saints. For example, one of the saints in our assembly in Taipei, we were very touched by his testimony. Many people, they went to Taiwan, they want to see the Palace Museum. But I tell brothers and sisters, you can, we will show you something even more wonderful than Palace Museum. In Palace Museum, you will see how those Chinese has accomplished some wonderful works. But if you visit the church in Taipei, you will see how God has worked among his saints. And one of our brothers has no stomach. He got a stomach cancer. And somehow the doctor took all his stomach away. Now, when he was through the operation, now the word came to him. Man does not live by bread alone. For more than 10 years, how our brother survived? After 10 years, 12 years, the doctor said he got another cancer, at least only 6 years, 6 months, that's enough. Now you discover by the living word of God, he has been sustained by the word of God. Now, another 2 years ago, he is coming for the conference in the West Coast. And you just cannot imagine. Every time when you look at him, my brothers and sisters, you will say, here's something much, much more beautiful than that you discover in Palace Museum. So this is Rhema. We need Rhema. We need the living word. Because this is our secret spirit of our life. Now in that temptation, I think we all know that story. And now, not only three times the Lord used Deuteronomy. Another one is Deuteronomy chapter 6, 13, and also 6, 16. So my brother and sister, you see how our Lord answer the word, answer the temptation. Today, many young people, not only young people actually, today we live in such a world, we can never, as a Christian, we will never survive unless we have the Rhema of God, unless we have the Word of God. So, my brothers and sisters, if you worry about your kids, if you worry about your children, don't forget. The most important thing is this, somehow help them to be filled with the Word of God. When time comes, my brothers and sisters, you can never, I tell you, as a parent, you will never go with them to any place, no. You can never be with them anytime, any moment. But when temptation comes, nothing can help us except the living word of God. So my brothers and sisters, you discover one word after another. Not only that, our Lord said, the word, it is also written, why? Because enemy of God also quote the word, also use the Bible. Then it is our Lord tells us, you need another word of God to balance, to interpret another word of God, the other part of God. So our Lord tells us, it is also written. So my brothers and sisters, we are saved. We are being kept by the word of God. So when you go through this part, I think you all know very well in the wilderness how our Lord came out in the triumph. And after that, I think you remember how our Lord entered into a synagogue and he read the word. And you remember very well. Then the Bible says, the book of prophet Isaiah who handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And don't forget, this is the book of Isaiah, right? And you know how many chapters for this wonderful book? Six chapters. It is one of the longest book in the whole Bible. Think about it. Suppose you don't know the word of God. Suppose you don't know Isaiah very well. I can challenge you. Okay? Now, whether you know Bible very well, I can challenge you with the book of Isaiah. Chapter 66 chapters. One of the longest book in the Bible, Isaiah. Now, at that time, don't forget, there's no divisions of chapters and verses. Now, where am I going to find? I must confess, today if someone passed me a book like that, and if I stand up, I have shown someplace, I really don't know what to do. If I'm not familiar with it. But something very amazing, my brothers and sisters, our Lord can find, he turned to Isaiah chapter 61. And he read it from verse 1 to verse 2. And he know where to find, and he read loudly. And not only that, he read with a purpose. He know where to stop. You see, sometimes first our problem is we don't know where to find. But we find it and we don't know where to stop. You can read and read and read on. My brother, it's very important. This time, if the Lord forgot to stop, he was in trouble. You know, I will tell you why. It's very, very important, brothers and sisters. And this is a passage. You have to know where to stop. Where to make the punctuation. Where you have the full stop. And the Lord knows that. And not only that, when he sit down, everybody looked at him with a marvelous eyes. And then the Lord said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing with such an impact. Amazing, brothers and sisters. But today, if our Lord was not well versed with His Bible, not well versed with the Word, how could He do that? That was almost impossible. So no wonder today we don't know much about the will of God, because at most we know the will of God is by doing this. Oh, but sometimes we don't know the will of God, so we close the Bible and then we open it and we try to find the promise or some word from that. That's how we got the will of God. That's how we know the word of God. That's the very poor. That's our poor situation. I remember a story. Some brother, he really did that. And one day he wanted to know the will of God, so he opened his Bible and he pointed his finger to a certain verse. Then he got a verse. He went away and hanged himself. So he said, no, this cannot be the will of God. So he overclosed again, over another place, and pointed his finger, and then he got the verse, go and do the same. So he said, no, that shouldn't be the case. Then he opened the cloak again, he opened again. And then here come another verse, what you do, do quickly. So you see, brothers and sisters, that's how we study the Word. That's how we know the Bible. That's why we are not well versed with the Word. And how can you have rhema if you don't know the Logos, if you are not well versed with Logos? But our Lord was different. When when the book of prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he opened the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover the sight of the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Full stop. Now, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 60-61, it is well known there is a passage from chapter 61, verse 1 to chapter 3. It is a messianic passage. Now, this is about Messiah, coming Messiah. Now, my brothers and sisters, then you discover that somehow the Lord stopped somewhere, and He stopped. Why? Very important. Because if you read on again, then you discover what the Bible says, if you read again, now, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, remember, it refers to the day of the Lord, of Jehovah. And now remember, it refers to the second coming of Messiah. If not today, our Lord first came as Lamb of God. Then when He came again, He will come as Lion of Judah. Now at that day, then He will proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. My brothers and sisters, if we don't know the Bible well, then when we read, I know we got the passage, now we have to use it very well. Then you read, and we don't know where to stop. Now He knew His Bible so well, He stopped right there. And this opened our eyes, because today, even you ask any Jews, they don't know. They only know one coming of Messiah. They're still waiting for that coming. And we are supposed to tell them, according to our Lord, it's so clearly. Because He's up there, then our eyes are open. There are two comings of Messiah. First coming and second coming. It was so clear. Why? Because our Lord was so well versed with. So my brothers and sisters, and especially young people, we should use by all means to be filled with the Logos of Christ. We know this is, that's what Paul tried to encourage us. We have to be filled with the Logos. Logos of Christ means the Word of Christ in a very rich way. Then the Holy Spirit can use this Word to give us rhema, to make His Word living, make His Word so rich and powerful. So my brothers and sisters, same thing. For other people, other rabbis, they also read Genesis, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to verse 3, but nothing happened. But you remember when He closed the book, gave back to the attendant, and sat down, the Bible said, the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon Him. Something happened. And then He began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So it is wonderful, brothers and sisters, by this way our Lord revealed Himself through the Word. This is very, very important. Then, this is the first stage of our Lord. Then when we come to the second stage, when we come to the Mount Transfiguration, again, you heard the voice from heaven. Again, the same thing happened. Again, a combination of Psalm 2 and Isaiah 42. Somehow, Holy Spirit put this together. Now, my brothers and sisters, we heard the voice from heaven. Now when we come to the third, when we come to the third stage of life, of our Lord. Now that stage especially connects with the way of the cross. And then you come to one occasion, which is supposed to be the lowest ebb of our Lord's life, we must say. And because you see, he healed many people, he performed many miracles, and then people just did not believe in him. And so we believe that should be, our Lord should be at the lowest ebb of his Lord's life. But then at that very time, the Bible says, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. That's a very unusual description. And he said, I pray thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide the things from the wise and intelligence, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well pleasing in thy sight. Now, brothers and sisters, hear not only a prayer, hear also a worship. See, even at the lowest ebb of our Lord's life, you discover his spirit rise up in such a way that he rejoices greatly in the Holy Spirit. Then he offers his prayer. I pray thee, O Father. So not only the prayer, also. So, brothers and sisters, now, if we learn how to pray, then sooner or later, we will learn how to praise. Not only praise, also the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why? Because we are called to walk in the same way of the cross. When we experience some kind of valley, our spirit will rise up, and then we are going to pray, and we also going to. Now, I think you all know very well this verse, so I don't want to go through the details. But some Bible scholar tells us, this prayer actually is a poem. It's a poem that was written in the three-beat rhythm. Now, when the people use three-beat rhythm to write a poem, it means that his mood is very calm. It means that he is not in a agitated mood. No, not at all. It means he was so peaceful. He was so happy. He was not troubled at all. My brothers, our Lord should be troubled. Our Lord should be influenced by his environment, because when he preached gospel, when he performed miracles, when he did that, when he do that, and then you discover no response. But at that very moment, you discover our Lord not only pray, he worshiped. And most important thing is this, he was quoting Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes thou hast established faith, because thy adversary to make the enemy the revengeful cease. My brothers and sisters, our Lord talk about, and thou hidest things from the wise and intelligent, and it is revealed them to babes. Now, if you read the whole passage, of course, this babe can refer to disciples, but mainly refer to our Lord himself. My brothers and sisters, because only God revealed everything to his son. And why? To our eyes, the babe is most weak. The babe is most helpless. Yet, the Bible says, thou hast established strength to make enemy and revengeful cease. The way of the cross is the way of power, to the power. The path to power and the glory is through the way of the cross. So, in this incident, we not only have the prayer life of our Lord, not only we discover how he worshiped the Father, not only worship him, also worship his ways. Not only that, he mixes his prayer and his worship with the word. So, my brothers and sisters, when he come to the cross, now he come to the winepress of the cross. He was in Mount Hermon. He has ascended to the peak of mankind. No one has reached there. No one. Birds have never reached there. And he transfigured, somehow his glory has been shown through him. Wonderful, my brothers and sisters. But for your sake, for my sake, he went through a way, which is called the way of the cross. He descended from Mount Hermon to Mount Golgotha. Now he was on the cross. But thank God. And when he was in great agony, sometimes when we are in agony, we have no time for others. We have only time for ourselves. But my brothers and sisters, when our Lord suffered and was in agony, great in agony on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Brothers and sisters, his life is life for others. Because he is a grace going through the winepress. Now that life will pass on and on and on. That's why I pray for you and for me. And he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Brothers and sisters, some people say, Judah has some contribution. If Judah did not betray our Lord, how could we get our salvation? That's a mistake. That's because they don't understand the gospel. In the past, if you know the gospel, on the one hand, it is hand of mankind crucify our Lord. But on the other hand, it is because the prayer of our Lord. Why? Because he prayed that our Father will forgive them. Will forgive the sinners. My brothers and sisters, how can you forgive a sinner? How can you justify a sinner? If you do that, you are not righteous anymore. For that reason, our Lord has to go through the cross, has to shed his blood, has to accomplish his work of salvation. Finally, that his last word on the cross. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my My brother and sister, this is not his word. Yeah, this is his word. Yeah, it is not his word. Because this was from Psalm 31:5. Into thy hand I commit myself. So, brothers and sisters, that's how our Lord concludes his earthly life before his resurrection. In the cross. He still pray. Not only that. When he say, into thy hands I commit my spirit, he was repeating the word. So, my brothers and sisters, you discover this is the life of our Lord, that his prayer life and his life with the Word. Two wings of a bird. And you know, many on average, almost every Jewish boy, before they went to bed, they always recite this verse, in thy hand I commit my spirit. What does that mean? After that, they are going to sleep. And tomorrow morning, they are going to wake up again. So, brothers and sisters, when our Lord prayed that prayer, just like other Jewish boys, he slept. But thank God, he woke up again. After 3 days, he was resurrected. After he was resurrected, now we are told he began to expound the Word of God. He began to explain the Word of God through the whole Bible. In our language, he was conducting some kind of Bible class. Let me tell you, our Lord never conducted Bible class before his resurrection. Why? There was a danger in it. Today, many people conduct their Bible class as if something happened before the Lord's resurrection. But our Lord only do it after his resurrection. Why? Because the Word of God is always on the ground of resurrection. For that reason, the Bible, the Word of God stands the test. Stand the test of fire, stand the test of persecution, test of enemy, test of enemy of God, test of signs. Today, the Bible still stands what is on the ground of resurrection. It went through death, yet resurrection. So, my brothers and sisters, you can never teach Bible like you are teaching physics or history. No, not at all. Why? Because it is always on the ground of resurrection. Not only that. When we receive this word, we are quickened. Even we are dead, my brothers and sisters, when you read the word of God, then you discover, I would say that only one kind of Bible class will be profitable. That means, when we are dead, then when you study the Word, it will quicken you. So, this is what happened. Well, after the resurrection, not only, now you discover the riches of the Lord is reaching out to the world. Passing on to his disciples. So, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. If we go through the whole life of the Lord, you will discover it is wonderful. Wonderful and wonderful. Now, speak of reservation. I know my time is gone. So let me just say in a few words. You know, Jonah typified Christ. And our Lord, there's only one sign in this wicked generation. That's the sign of Jonah. Now you remember how Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of fish. Now what was he doing? And some people said he was struggling in the stomach, fighting with the strong acid. In the stomach. Now, brothers and sisters, if you read your Bible very carefully, what was he doing in the valley of flesh. He was praying. This is very strange. This, I must say, this is the strangest place in the world to pray. In the valley of flesh. My brothers and sisters, that means you still can pray there. You still can pray in the inside the valley of flesh. Can you do that? Of course, for the young people, I must warn you. Of course, if he was really in a stomach, of course he couldn't pray. He couldn't pray anymore. Most likely he was in the gas chamber like the lung of that big fish. But big enough for him to stoop to pray. You cannot stand up in the valley. Then you discover that wonderful prayer recorded in the second chapter of Jonah. Read that chapter. Some people were overwhelmed by the story of fish, then we forget about his prayer. Sometimes the fish of Jonah is much more famous than prayer of Jonah. Why the prayer of Jonah is important? Because he prayed in the valley of fish. Can we say that, can we suggest that we will pray in such an occasion, in such a place? But thank God. It's a wonderful prayer. And let me tell you, if you study that prayer, you will discover it is the combination of the Word of God in the Old Testament. You will find some here and some there put together. Oh, my brother and sister, when we, you and I, are in the valley of faith, it's impossible to pray because there's no human word can utter our prayer. It's impossible. Only Holy Spirit can pray for us. But when Holy Spirit is going to pray for us, always pray with His word. In the Old Testament, in the Psalm. So one Psalm after another, putting together, it is beautiful prayer. I must say, brothers and sisters, why we are so poor in the breaking of bread meeting? Why? We have no word. But how much we need the Word of God. Because we don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit teaches us to pray with His words. Now, when you pray with His words, this is the most beautiful prayer. So, my brothers and sisters, let's learn the wonderful lesson. This is the secret spring of Christian life. So, may the Lord be merciful to us. We learn to have such a wonderful life. Now, finally, just one sentence will be enough for the young people. I would suggest to all the young people, when you are still young, when you are still in the morning of your life, I would encourage you, go to your Bible, especially Psalms, 150 Psalms. Try to memorize all the prayers and praises in that book. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you do that, next time when you come to the breaking of bread meeting again, next time when you worship with the people again, you will discover the whole thing will be changed. I must tell you, brothers and sisters, I've traveled around in this world, many, many places. But one place I will never forget. In São Paulo, there are only a group of people meeting together. They are very poor, they are small, tiny. But one thing touched me very much. When I attend their prayer breaking of bread meeting, it was so rich. Why? Because not only adults there, all of the children there, they pray a prayer. You discover that they quote one verse from here, one verse from there. Wonderful. It's just like the prayer of Jonah. So may the Lord be merciful to us. There is a practical side to it. But anyway, this is the use of the word in prayer and worship. May the Lord use this word for His wonderful purpose. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for such a wonderful opportunity to remind us again this importance of the hidden life with You. May we all learn to live a prayer life and a life with Your word together with You. May we also live under an open heaven. May heaven always speak to our heart. In the name